Coming up on TMS, Katy Perry really likes her snack food.
How was your Halloween?
Oh, it was all right. Played a lot of video games in your browser.
Do not put the egg beater in the lava, lady.
Mama June ain't getting paid neither.
Age of Ultron nabs Idris Elba.
It's kind of one of, what do you call that? It's kind of a thing. Major spoilers.
It looks like an anagram for something. That's what I meant. Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hey, my fella. Look here. Seagulls, born in wine cooler. Seagulls, born in wine cooler. It's wet and it's dry.
Turn yourselves into a greasy spot on a country road somewhere. Go right ahead.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream.
The day be needing you.
Everybody, welcome to The Morning Stream, and I gotta say right off the bat, I'm Scott Johnson, that's Brian Nibbett, and I really like your glasses. I think you look great.
Thanks.
There's something about them. It's a,
really?
Yeah, there's a dignified thing going on right there. Can't really put all my finger on it. I don't know. Come on, chat room, back me up. You know what I say
they're
is
They're very
true.
Boring frames. I just really wanted something cheap.
Yeah.
If I wore glasses more often and it wasn't all contacts all the time,
yeah,
then I would go for something a little quirkier, a little more. These are so like boring and straight laced and
dad glasses.
Oh well, okay. maybe I wouldn't have gone that direction, but right. Okay.
It's better than like librarian glasses. If you're gonna pick.
Well, much better than librarian glasses. I was thinking like you know the Elvis Costello glasses would be would be the direction I'd go.
You know what? You brought that up, so I got to say something about it. I watched an episode of The Gilmore Girls with my wife. She's really into that right now, and it's good. That was a great show, and it shouldn't have been something I would like, but I totally liked it then. I like it now. It's fun to rewatch it.
Lauren Graham is lovely, and she's really, really funny. Good comedic.
She's a hoot.
Timing.
The girl played her daughter's great. Everybody in there's just got good charm and all that. Although her high school friend. Nookie, or I remember her name, a little Korean girl. She's 41 now. There was no way she was in high school in 2003. There's just no way. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. She looks young, but she was in her 30s when she was doing
it. Oh, really? It's kind of like the 90210 30-year-old playing teenagers.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Or anybody on Glee, for that matter.
Right.
Anyway, so we're watching that show, and what would come to my ears other than a Elvis Costello song?
Oh,
in the
really?
Middle of this thing. And it reminded me why I like and don't like him. Because I like him generally. I think the songs he writes are great.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a weird vibrato that takes me out of the game a little bit. So he'll get singing going. And then he'll go. On the tail end of it. And it's super distinct.
I'm trying to think of a good example. I know he does it, but.
Like at the
I
end
know
of it.
This world is killing you. Yeah, so, I guess kind of a little bit.
It's just toward the
I don't
tail
know, I think
end.
I like that though.
It drives me crazy. I don't know why.
My aim is true.
It's like just want them to close the gaps a little. Just pull it in, tighten up the waves. You know, just doesn't have to be. He's like, it's like listening to Gandalf tell everyone to fly, you fools. It's just too.
I love about him, obviously, brilliant songwriter, amazing lyricist, right? But I think the fact that he doesn't sound like anybody else you hear on the radio, you know, it's like.
I'll give him that.
There's no polished pop. This is a guy who said, I'm not gonna write songs for other people. I'm writing them for myself. Mm-hmm. These are the songs that matter to me, and I'm gonna perform myself. And if you don't like the sound of my voice, then
he wrote his own ticket, is what you're saying.
Blame it on Kane, sure. Is what he'd be saying.
Sure. Yeah, he's fine. He also looks like J.J. Abrams, but that's a different problem, separate problem. If you're going to look like J.J. Abrams.
Like J.J. What? Really?
Don't you think?
No.
Elvis Costello and J.J. Abrams? Come on.
Not even. Okay, hold on. I got to pull up another picture of J.J. Abrams.
And Elvis Hostile. I'll bet someone's already done.
I think you're nuts.
I'll bet someone's already done like a side by side. I'll bet you money here.
Right. Not even close.
Well, maybe it's just the glasses.
I think it's just the glasses. Yeah,
that's a good point. Hold on. Let's see. Is there any comparison shots? Yeah.
I'm sorry. This
All
one I've
right.
got.
It's just the glasses.
This one I've got.
I guess you're right. Well, whatever. Put a fedora on him. He's got a good Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. One of them could dress up as the other with a little bit of
he could totally
assistance.
Pull that
Probably
off.
Probably more J.J. Abrams dressing up as Elvis Costello.
Well, here's the deal. It's BlizzCon week, and by way of programming notes, we should let you folks know that we kind of mentioned it last week, but we're both flying on Thursday, so there is no shows Thursday as a result, and we will be back maybe Monday. It depends on your flight, but we'll work that out and let you guys know.
Yeah.
But if Brian gets his flights the way he wants, he may be back Monday, and we're doing a show Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be changing around a rental car, changing around a flight in a hotel. But
and if not, all, let's say you can't. Let's say they don't do it. They say, F off, Mr. We're Frontier, screw you. Maybe I'll rope like Schleicher in or do something
like
that. There
you go. There you go.
So we'll work something out. But the plan right now is just missing stuff on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
There will be live things happening Friday. There'll be a live Current Geek. There'll be live Instance on Saturday. All that kind of stuff will be carried by Alpha Geek Radio. So there's content to be had. It's just, and Brian and I will, you know, be around and doing stuff. And
sure. I'm sure we'll do a little microphone thing at some point or another. We kind of have to.
Yeah. I'm bringing my little unit there. What do you call it?
I would hope so.
I'm bringing my little unit. You bring your big unit. Big unit. Isn't there somebody called Big Unit?
The Big Unit. Sure. Randy Johnson, the former pitcher for the Seattle Mariners.
There you go. That is absolutely
had a great,
correct.
Like, boy, it was one of the, and there was the Big Unit because of all of his strikeouts. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the term came.
It wasn't his penis then.
It was not his penis.
Okay, great. That's good. I don't want to know about his penis. All right. I got news for y'all. Two things. The trivia thing went really well, and everyone seemed to like it. So if you are into that.
Oh, yeah, the Frog Pants Trivia Show.
Yeah. If you're into that, you want to check it out. It's up on the feed, the audio feed. We recorded the whole thing. It's also on YouTube as well. And I think it went off really well, and people seem to really like it. And we got a bunch, kind of an uptick in subscriptions or Patreon subscriptions right after we posted it. So we are happy as pigs in poo. About that. So if you want to help us out, patreon.com/TMS. All right, Katy Perry, you're familiar with her work.
I'm familiar with Katy Perry. Yes. All right. She kissed a girl and she liked it, I hear.
I heard she liked it, but I think she probably loved it, I guess.
But there were no fireworks?
No. And she married that potato guy. His face looks like a potato. What's his name?
What?
Russell Brand. Married him for a while.
He just looks like he smells really bad.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't look well kempt. They didn't work out. They moved on. And I saw her her Halloween costume, and I thought, well, maybe this is part of the reason. She dressed up like a giant Cheeto. I would like to point your attention to that link there.
I love that outfit.
Yeah. And she's carrying a bag of Cheetos.
Just in case people don't know what she is.
I guess so, because otherwise.
Well, which makes sense. Otherwise, she looks like a big orange turd.
Yeah, like a big turd. Well, yeah. The beauty of the bag, though, is that she's using it as her, like, trick-or-treat bag.
Right. She doesn't look happy in that picture.
No, none of these. She looks happy. Like she lost a bet.
If it weren't for the bag of Cheetos, the prop, then she'd absolutely look like a big orange turd.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I like the photo, second to the last photo, with photobomb from Demon Lawyer. Look at that guy. His eyes all aglow. That's pretty scary.
That's just Katy Perry right there.
So I thought that'd be a good lead-in to anything we experienced over the Halloween holiday that was of note. And I got to tell you right now from my angle, not much happened for us. It was kind of, I mean, it was nice. I hung out with Kim and the kids, and the kids went out and did a bunch of stuff with their friends. And we went to some neighbor friends and hung out there and had food and, you know, watch kids come by and give them candy and laugh and talk and watch part of Zombieland while we were there. And
oh,
it was all,
cool.
All fun things, but it felt like kind of an uneventful Halloween for us. You had crazy neighbors, so I'm guessing you had things happen. Right?
Yeah, so Friday night, so we all got together Friday night, Halloween night, and did fire pit in front of the crazy neighbor's house. So they've got a fire pit out there. I brought over this big, massive speaker, iPod dock speaker thing that I have. We handed out candy, like basically, you know, it was great because we got the fog machine out. Kids would come by. We'd say, all right, come on up here. And we'd hand out candy. And then we'd basically say, and this is, you know, this is our house, which is next door, and the house across the street, because another one of our neighbors was over there. And two out of three times, the kids would be like, oh, cool. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, bye. And then they would
They'd still go right over
to our house as if they didn't hear a single thing we just said.
Great.
Walk up our sidewalk. No, no. We're over here and we don't know. It's
future leaders.
Got candy from us.
Yeah. Future leaders of this country, of this world.
That's right. Almost like, give it back. Give it back. You don't get it now.
That's funny.
So try again next year.
So when they do that, they just stand there and nobody would come? And would you guys yell?
Oh, no, we would catch them before they made it all the way up the driveway. I mean, we're, you know, this fire pit is right between our house and the crazy neighbor's house. We could just yell at them as soon as they start making their way up the driveway, like, nope, that's our house. We're over here. You got candy from us already.
Were their parents with them or were they parentless or how did that go? How's it work?
It was both cases. Yeah. And sometimes the parents would figure it out even before we had to say anything and say, no, you just got candy from them.
I guess like, if they're real little, it makes sense that they just, just a zombie move to the next home.
It is. It's like, I must walk to next door.
Candy is there also.
They have fog machine and disco lights. Must be home giving out full-size Snickers bars.
Oh, and that was the other question. Do you guys, what sort of candy you give out?
It's fun size for us. Okay. But we don't just do like the one piece. No, we grab a handful of everything and like they get some Runts, they get some Snickers, they get a couple Swedish fish, some crickets.
Yeah.
Anything that we don't finish on TMS goes in the handout bag.
Ritter Sports.
No. Not the good stuff. All right. No.
A thickened liquid.
Little plastic containers of thickened liquid. Little to go sample bottles of
terrible, terrible Halloween for
aloe vera soda.
Yeah. Bad idea.
So then the next day we actually did our dress up thing and went to a party up in the mountains, up in Genesee.
Oh, nice.
Really, really beautiful house. Holy cow. This place is gorgeous. And they do it up for Halloween. Every room completely filled with those spider webs. They have big sheets on the wall that make it look like it's an old library with busts that the eyes follow you and stuff. I mean, these people do it upright. I took one picture that I'll post on Facebook or Twitter or something that for their kitchen, they took, you know, those little tiny candle things you can get that you put the batteries in, right?
Oh, yeah,
so it's got the
right.
Little flickering candle, but it's not really fire.
Sure.
You take those and then you do a little paper cylinder to make it look like a tall candle. And then you take like fishing line or invisible thread and you dangle them from the ceiling. And if you do about 20 of these, it looks like Harry Potter lunchroom action going on.
That's cool.
That's really cool. All these, you know, candles dangling.
Are these like old friends of yours or what's the, how do you know?
They're friends of friends. They're friends actually of the crazy neighbors, but we've gone to their Halloween party, you know, for several years, seen movies with them and stuff. So they're closer than acquaintances, but
this is the time of year you really see them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe one time during the summer we'll get together for a movie or something. But
yeah. Well, that's lovely. Sounds like a good time, man.
And we were the four rejected kids from Willy Wonka. So I was Augustus Gloop.
Yeah.
And Crazy Neighbors were Mike TV and Veruca Salt, and Tina was Violet Beauregard. So, and Tina nailed the costume. Actually, Tina and Carrie both nailed their costumes.
Yeah, I saw some video. They look great. You know what's funny about the video you put on Facebook? Crack me up. Because when you saw it, the freeze frame of the preview of the video looks like you are losing your mind.
I know. I had to change it. As soon as I saw the thumbnail, I'm like, oh, I'm changing this. I can't.
It looked like you were going crazy and like freaking out. And I thought, I cannot wait to push play on this. And I hit play and it's very like, all right, here we all are around the fire and the fog machine. And hey, this is a check her out. And this is a bit, bit. And then, all right, everyone have a good Halloween. And it was super low key. But in that freeze frame, you look like you just murdered someone.
That's right, yeah. Because I was just basically like a really quick shot of me going, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But it turned out that freeze frame that YouTube decided, oh, this will be the one we used, was...
That was funny.
A little nuts.
Nicely done, YouTube. We know what you're doing. We see what you're up to.
That's right.
We have some definitive... Well, we have a sound clip. We have somebody who is... We're going to put this to bed, basically. This is still that whole bros argument.
Really? There's still debate on the bros?
There is. Sort of. But this guy is with us, and here's what he says.
Hey, Scott. This is Brandon, a Florida man. calling for the morning stream. Just a quick point on the initialism that we've been talking about on the streams and whatnot. I just wanted to point out that in a court of law, when you're talking about the case, they do initialize the V, but they don't pronounce it versus. So Roe v. Wade is, you know, what we would say typically, not exactly Roe versus Wade. Just wanted to point that out. Thanks.
All right. So,
So that's not the bros thing. That's the versus thing.
It's the whole, but yeah, the big connected conversation about all this stupid stuff. And yeah, I get it. So I told you, here's what my bottom line is on all this. I've made a decision on the whole bros and verse and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're just things that annoy me, and it's okay. They can go ahead and use them all they want. It's fine. You're not going to win any points with me personally by walking around saying verse and bro, but it's fine. Sure. I don't care. The English language is such a, like Tom made a good point on Current Geek. He said, like the term okay came from slang. And now it's the most used word in the world, not just in English. It's used everywhere. People say okay, no matter what their language is.
Okay, good time. Number one.
Yeah, number one. It's all okay is seriously okay these days. There are other words like that, like yeah or hey or some of these words that started out as just complete slang or shortenings or whatever, and now they are completely 100% acceptable things to say in the English language or otherwise. Rad is a good one that I use all the time.
Oh, that's rad.
That's so, yeah. Well, I mean, rad. Rad doesn't even, I'm like, it's contradictory to what I've been saying. Because rad is doing what people with bros do.
No, it's not an abbreviation, though.
It is. It's radical. It's supposed to be radical, and people say rad.
Yeah, but it's not like, bros is not the spoken short form of brothers.
Well, I agree. But
their
point is not yet. See, that's their whole argument, is that it just hasn't taken hold. And Tom's example was people don't say 23 skidoo anymore, but because it never took, right?
Right.
But they don't say groovy very often because that kind of stayed into a time and place. The whole point is that certain things skip ahead and move forward. I would argue rad and even bro used in certain ways has done that, but bros and verses and verse. Just haven't yet. And I'm willing to accept it that maybe one day it will. It'll end up in that damn Oxford dictionary where they're willing to put any old shit in there. And it's fine. I'll just be irritated. It's not a problem. I'm just going to be bugged by it. Everyone okay with that? All right. Does look at this. Let me ask you this. Does anyone care?
I don't give a shit.
All right. Great.
All right. Fred Thompson doesn't.
Senator Fred Thompson, everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's him in every Senate hearing.
Ever. Of all time.
That's right.
You're not wrong about that.
All in favor, say aye.
Yeah. Okay.
All against, say nay. How about you, Fred Thompson?
Fred Thompson, this is a very important topic. How important is it?
I don't give a shit.
All right, fine. We'll move on to something else. All right, Daryl's being called on his phone because, Daryl, are you there before I play your phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. All right. Hold on. I got to hear this story. Hold on. Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Whoop! This is a Starfleet Academy recording. In order to complete your training and begin exploration of the final frontier, you must watch The Red Shirt Diaries, a Star Trek parody web series with new episodes every Monday at theredshirtdiaries.com. Follow Ensign Williams, a low-ranked security officer, as she fights violent sentient plants, overly friendly superior officers, and alien probes that refuse to let her sleep. Your own five-year mission begins at theredshirtdiaries.com.
By the way, they should give lessons on how to write these things. They're really well-written.
They are well-written.
This is the kind of thing we like.
We could use some new descriptions of what happens to Ensign Williams, though.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know.
Sure, why
not? As much as I love the alien sentient, the violent sentient plants and the alien probes, maybe a couple other things. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, speaking of violent sentient plants, Daryl's on the line. Daryl, how's it going?
I know a couple of people who are going to have guests. Spots on that show.
I'm aware of this as well. Although let me put it this way. There are two of the people who are going to be guests on there that I think are going to be just voices, right? Isn't that the deal? They're not going to bring us into the set or anything.
I have no idea.
When I say us, I don't mean us. I mean, well, whatever.
I don't think it was clarified whether we were audio or... whether these two people that were going to be guests were audio or video.
I hope it's webcams and it's like an on-screen, like on the bridge kind of moment, like we look like packlids on webcams. That'd be amazing. Right. Something like that'd be good. Anyway, well, I, not us.
Well, you don't know. You don't know who your, what your parts are.
Yeah. Well, we don't know who we are. We don't know anything about.
Oh,
what you're
the
talking
world
about.
Knows.
Does the world know? Is the world aware?
Yeah.
Oh,
the world knows.
We don't know. We really don't know. Should we know?
There's an Indiegogo page, and your pictures are up there saying you are this. You're, oh, so I think you're an admiral or something.
There we go.
Oh, well,
Scott's an admiral, and Brian's somebody else. I don't remember.
I haven't seen the Indiegogo yet. I knew it was going up today, but I haven't actually looked at
Scott's
it.
Scott's an admiral, and I'm what? What am I? What's my rank?
Ends in Marlow. You get shot. You get killed.
Damn it.
Yeah. No, I don't know what you are.
Right there.
What are you? What does it say?
Here we go. I'm pulling it up right now. Indiegogo.com/project/The Red Shirt Diary Season 2. Mm-hmm. With a bunch of dashes in there.
Yeah.
Scrolling. Scott Johnson as the voice. Oh, you're already in. As the voice of Admiral Williams.
No.
Brian Ibbett as the voice of the Romulan commander.
Perfect. You can wear shoulder pads and stuff. And sequin.
Katie Wilson.
Yeah. Who's that?
Kat Roberts.
Who's that? I don't know who that is.
So Katie Wilson is going to be... Leela Kilomi in This Side of Paradise. Kat Roberts. Oh, she's from Star Trek Continues. She's going to be Yeoman Rand.
I love that cover art.
There's chamois, webcomics, lots of stuff you can get. Wow. All sorts of flavors you can get.
Look at Ashley out there by that rock. That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's way rad. Well, I'm super stoked for her and them. This is great. Anyway, we'll talk more about that because they're going to do some other spots based on that Indiegogo, and we'll get to those probably tomorrow is my guess. Daryl, why are you on a phone? What the hell's going on?
Well, I've dropped my iPhone before, and it's been just fine, so I had no reason to think that today was going to be any different.
So wait a minute. How often do you drop it, though?
I don't know. Maybe 3 times.
Sounds like a big problem, yeah. Actually.
Like 3 times a year or 3 times total?
Oh, probably total.
Okay. So this one took, though. This one, you dropped it and it said, nope, we're not going to work after this. What happened? Did it shatter? Yeah, it explode?
No, I didn't even drop it very far. It just barely bumped it, so I didn't even think about it. I didn't even turn it on or try it. I just shoved it in my pocket and came to work and turned it on to listen to you guys, and it was just dead.
Here's my guess. That it was already so hit from the last time you dropped it that this time it just needed a nudge over the edge and you were done.
Probably.
What are you going to do? You have to get a new phone? What are you going to do?
I guess. A few minutes ago this happened, so I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I guess I'll have to get something.
iPhone 6 for Daryl. Do-do-do-do-do-do. All right, well.
Probably.
Plus.
Yeah.
Ginormous.
Well, let us know how it goes. And I'm sorry that your phone went
zert.
All right, Daryl, let's ask your Trek question. He comes on the show and asks trivia. And by the way, today it's a mashup. This one is apparently 100% ball free. I'll believe it when I hear it.
Yeah, right.
So here it is. Eat that damn thing. Put that in your mouth and you eat that thing.
The small one doesn't look anything like the big one.
Pick a side. Horde side.
Brand
new. Very distressing.
Very distressing.
What is this? Green leaves and sticks?
Conquistador.
You're the one that turned me on to it. You turned me on, Brian.
Biscuits. Biscuits. No, no.
No, no.
Chilaquiles. Yeah.
You are smoking the special brand of crack.
What's CM Punk doing anyway? You know the guy's got talent.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, by the way, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but newly betrothed freaking
yes!
Justin and Ashley.
Oh,
what
yeah,
hell,
no
man.
Kidding. Woo, oh, that'll excited. Be a great thing to talk to him about tomorrow.
Getting all domestic on us. Going to have a little Justin Robert Jr.'s running around. It's going to be
fantastic. Do you do 3 months salary as a podcaster to do a ring? Like, is it 3 months of Patreon?
Oh, yeah. I wonder how that's 8 episodes of Night Attack
right,
and
right.
A couple of weird things and you're good. I don't know how that works. We'll have to ask him tomorrow. I'm excited for him. And he put up video of the asking, and she was genuinely caught off guard, which was always fun to see. Mm. You never want the girl to know, you know.
No, no. What's the way life is like, yeah. Even after you're married?
Yeah. He's just such a... I know he says this is all out in the open, but I feel like Justin's persona doesn't show this as well, but he is just a big traditional softy under all that.
Oh, he is.
That beard.
He is.
Let's get to your question, Daryl. In the Next Generation episode, Power Play, Data, Troy, and O'Brien become possessed by aliens from a penal colony planet. I remember this. They hold hostages intent forward. Riker suggests that they use gas in their air vents to knock them out. What kind of gas does Riker suggest they use to take down the possessed crew members? Was it A, trionium gas, B, neurozine gas, C, anethazine gas, or D, Kralon gas?
Anethazine.
That's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
Kralon gas sounds like melting crayons and having gas from it, I guess. Yeah. All right. Well, while you consider it. Oh, we don't have food yet, do we?
We don't.
And you might, Kim's supposed to send those boxes. I don't think she has yet. So we're still sort of waiting on that. Right. Daryl, why don't we do a birthday? Do you got anything to celebrate today?
Oh, yes. Oh, this stupid phone. I hate this wired phone. The quality is so horrible.
It's the worst, man.
You'd think wires would be good. Why aren't wires good?
Well, hold on. Why aren't they good? Or what is this even a problem, Senator Fred Thompson?
I don't give a shit.
All right. He didn't care.
Well, yeah. We know now.
Okay, back to the question.
All right, yeah. Birthdays. Oh, do we not have birthdays?
Birthdays. Not the question. Birthdays. Paul Maples, which has nothing to do with trees or syrup, is 51.
Oh, wow.
You may now give birth.
All right. How old? 51? What did he do?
He was the motion control operator for DS9 and Voyager, which means he made the little camera go zerrrt along its track.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Oh, so he's a behind-the-scenes guy.
Yeah.
By the way, it just occurred to me, this thing I play sometimes for birthdays...
You may now give birth.
...is from the episode we're talking about today. It's the
oh, really?
Because Keiko has to give birth while O'Brien is possessed by that penal colony guy and doesn't give two craps that his wife is pregnant 9 months and ready to go. And that's from that because Worf is helping her birth it. So there you go. That's a funny coincidence. Well, happy birthday to him. 51. That's a good age, you know. Still in your prime there. Still got stuff to do. Things to conquer. Worlds to possess. Daryl, let's get back to your damned thing here, your question. You know, I got to say something real quick. If people feel like I'm a little lethargic today, do you want to know why? Let me tell you why. I have a very specific reason why. So, if the lead up to BlizzCon, I tell myself, hey, Scott, you know what you're going to do? You're going to take really good care of yourself. You're going to eat really well, smart, less, and healthy. You're going to keep exercising. You're going to do all the things you know you need to do. You're going to catch up on all the work you can so that you're nice and ready to go. You want to be able to go and not stress about it. You want to have a good time. And you're going to just be all those things because, you know, you're not getting any younger. And sometimes stuff crops up. So just take care of yourself. Okay. That's what I've been telling myself.
Sure.
Doing great. Having just wonderful days of doing that, of living the dream of trying to be good to myself. Yesterday, Kim made... Oh, so we're doing Film Sack, right? You and I and Randy and Brian. Having a good time. That finishes. Brian goes off to trivia. I go to a family dinner. And at this dinner, there are tacos. And I gorged on tacos like an idiot. I was so hungry that I just thought, I've been so good. This will be fine. This will be low impact. I was up till like 2. And then I woke up again at 3.
Ground beef tacos?
No. It was ground turkey. And that's usually fine. It's not even like, it wasn't like a reaction to any of that. It's just, my system just can't do the, like, let me gorge on something anymore. I just can't do that thing where it's a volume issue. Like if I just, I'm hardly chew anything. I'm just in trouble. That's just the way it is. So I have the worst gut ache all night long. I'm just laying there like rolling around. Kim's like, are you all right? I'm like, no, freaking tacos, dude. And so this morning I'm just feeling like tacoed out. Like I just feel like a big piece of ugly rotting fish meat in the sun is how I feel today.
Jeez.
So I'll be fine by Thursday, but my goal is to get back freaking straight and have this be a reminder to my dumbass self. Hey, Scott, don't eat like an idiot. Don't be a freaking fool and take care of your damn self. And then my gut and my body will yell back at me.
I don't give a shit.
All right. Great. Great. Daryl, let's get back to your question. All right.
Okay.
You got your trionium gas, your neurozine gas, your anethazine. She's the lovely and talented.
Anethazine.
And the Kralon gas. Which one of these did Riker try to hose down everybody with in that episode?
Let's see. Krylon is a brand of paint, so it probably wasn't that.
I'll take your word for it. Is it really a brand of paint?
Spray paint, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to go to C because I have no idea, and that sounds like something they... I think they did use that at one point. I don't remember if it was this episode or something else.
You may have heard it before. It's ringing a bell, you're saying?
Yeah, I just hope it's ringing the right bell.
Well, judges, is it?
It's all we know.
Congratulations.
Oh,
good.
You're a winner.
Well, despite not having your regular phone and not being able to listen to the show, you yet still pulled out a win. That's the gas. Riker suggests they use this gas, but Geordi says it won't work because the gas will have no effect on Data, who is also possessed. It kind of makes sense to me that if he can be possessed, he can also be gassed, but whatever. He says they need to take all three down at once. Here is a clip from that going down right here. There you go. Right here. Come on. Why aren't you playing? Oh, it's not.
They've done something to the force fields on Deck 10, Section 1.
Geordi?
I don't recognize the configurations, but they've completely isolated 10 forward.
What about flooding their air vents with the necessary gas?
That won't affect Data. No rescue plan will work unless we can knock out all three of them.
A concussive charge would blow out the security fields. We can go in with the phasers and a wide beam, stun everybody, sort it out later.
Jeez, aren't you the hawk of the group there?
It's not like Riker could pronounce anesthetine. I can't do it either.
He did it really quick.
Gas either.
Yeah, well, yeah, he kind of ran through it so fast. So I'm pretty sure that was like that was the 12th take and they were having a sabotage moment and he gave up.
That's right.
You say sabotage. All right, Daryl. You did well. Nice job. It's a great way to start the morning, except for that phone thing. Now I feel like it's a story that will be told. Like you're gonna tell us a tale over the next few days about what you ended up doing.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you were able to solve your problem or not.
Disaster is a great way to have a good story.
That's what I'm saying. Daryl is the Trek nerd. He is also, that's him on Twitter. He's also part of This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. We had Hammond Chamberlain on Current Geek the other day. It was very good on there.
It's great.
Yeah.
Did a great job.
It's a good Marvel discussion on that one.
I agree. Well, and we knew it would be big, right, with all those movies and stuff. So there you go. Daryl, thanks and have fun and play a game with us. Do you have one prepared?
Yes, but first I have to say thank you to Alpha Geek Radio because they have many alternate ways that they didn't have before of listening to the stream, and I have found one, and it works.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, Todd's kicking A and taking names over there.
He's
doing a great job. He'll be at BlizzCon helping us stream live content as well. I think he's going to be doing the Patreon's a good place to go to do this. If you want to help support his mobile ability to go, like, cover costs of traveling to these things and you know, setting up shop and stuff, that would be a great way to help
support GnomeWise's mobile unit.
Yeah, his mobile unit. You know, the one. Oh, yeah. All right, Daryl, why don't you give us your game here thing, whatever it is.
Okay, let's see, which one will we do? How about, what do I like? How about this one? Star Trek. Oh, that's a, okay, I'll go ahead. No, I'll save that for later. Now I've probably given away the right answer, so I'll just go to the next one.
All right.
Star Trek background character or actual cat breed?
Actual cat breed or background character in Star Trek?
Vitamins are not a panacea for all the troubles of mankind.
All right, that's your theme there.
Okay.
Pax?
Hadley.
Oh.
Hadley?
Hadley.
With an H. Hadley.
Hadley. Yeah. Ryan, that sounds too obvious to be...
A character, right?
Because it sounds totally like it would never be a vitamin or a not a vitamin. What's the thing?
A breed of cat.
A breed of cat. Sorry. I just played that other thing. Well, actually, now that I think about it, that sounds like a cat. Or it could
right,
be a
Hadley?
Cat. Hadley cat. Hadley cat guess. Or Lieutenant Hadley, come to the surface with me.
It really, I mean, it. He might be trying to double blind us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't know, man. I defer. You've been right the last four times.
I don't think I have. I would go character. I would say background character.
All right.
Send Hadley down to the surface.
Yeah, we'll say background character.
Well, Scott knows something because he said Lieutenant Hadley, and it was a Lieutenant Hadley on TOS. He was demoted. Oh, he was in season one, but he was demoted to ensign in Spock's brain.
I was hoping you were going to say he was turned into a cat. That would have been brilliant. nicely done, Daryl. Way to go, us. I mean, really, if we're going to pat anybody on the back, it should be us, right?
It really should be us. Yeah.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
Zombies Ate My Podcast is celebrating the return of The Walking Dead by giving away a hand-signed print of Scott Johnson's The Blocking Dead. Visit zombiesatemypodcast.com for details and catch our weekly recap of the most recent Walking Dead episode.
Sorry, I'm adjusting.
And enjoy a lollipop.
Yeah, right?
Enjoy a lovely lollipop.
That's what I'm saying. Hold on, I got all whacked up here. Here we go. Got it. It's working now. Don't worry. I got it. Everything's fine.
What
hey,
you got? What you got?
I got stuff. I got things. News. Let's get to this news here. You like arcades, right? That's the thing you did as a kid.
Used to love arcades. Used to love the Shooting Star Arcade found at Old Wadsworth in Arvada, Colorado.
Yeah, they're still fun today if you want to go, put some quarters in there. Or I like to go to the Nickelcade here locally where you just put nickels and everything.
Yeah, they don't have that here anymore. They used to.
Well, how about free? How does free sound to you? Free.
Free sounds fantastic.
Well, then you can play over 900 classic arcade games in your browser for free. This includes Dig Dug, Galaga, Golden Axe. Ooh. This is a fraction of what's available. Many of them are kind of ancient. It's in the. It's all thanks to the Internet Archive. Same folks that do all sorts of other things. They collect web pages, text, audio, other stuff. A lot of podcasters use them, that sort of thing. Anyway, they make something called the JSMESS or the JS Mess, a program that emulates old computer games or old computers like a Commodore 64, Atari 2600, hundreds more in JavaScript. Anyway, this weekend, Jason Scott, he's a programmer, revealed that he modified the program to support hundreds of arcade games. Roughly 900 of them are up there, and it's I don't know what the legality of this.
Yeah, because it used to be that you couldn't even, like, you could own a ROM emulator, but the only way that you could actually legally play the games on it is if you owned the ROMs.
Yeah.
So I don't know how works.
Yeah, I'm a little fishy.
So enjoy it while you can, people.
Yeah, that's the issue, right? I'm trying to find here if there's anybody.
Go play your Mr. Do.
Nobody's done any takedowns.
While you can.
Oh, look at all this stuff. I mean, everything's in there. Stargate, Starfire, Sky Launcher, Street Fighter 2. It's all the S's. Samurai.
Wow.
Ring Raiders. Red Alert. Oh, my gosh. Super packed.
Oh, wow. Look at that. No kidding.
Yeah,
jeez.
I'm going to go play with these.
Star Castle?
Star Castle was awesome. You kidding me?
Is that the ones where you get the thing in the middle, right?
Oh, no, and that's... what is that? Is that Star Castle? I thought Star Castle was a little guy that ran around it. Like a little dude.
No, it's like you get the thing in the middle and you're flying around it. You're shooting, it's like it's a rolling breakout game, like a spinning breakout game, basically.
Yeah,
around
I remember
the thing
that.
In the middle.
I don't think that's Star Castle, though.
Let me see. You're probably right.
Images... I'm just going to look real quick. Oh, no, you're dead right. That is what it is. It's Star Castle.
Okay, so it was Star Castle.
Oh, great game.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
It was Vector.
Yes.
God, I love Vector, dude.
Server error 502, probably because our servers are overloaded right now.
Probably. Whoops. Oops. As my brother would say. He doesn't say whoops. He says oops whenever he says whoops. Oops. Oops. So go do those. That's fun. That's good times. There's a woman who she's in big trouble now. I got this article from a bunch of you over the weekend. I don't know why this is so popular, but man, it came in fast and hard. Woman dunked an egg beater in lava and then got arrested.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Dunked an egg beater in lava.
Well, here it is. The lava flow currently creeping across Hawaii's island Puna region is luring residents to the flow like moths to a flame, says the Huffington Post.
Okay.
But while some onlookers sat in lawn chairs outside police-enforced barricades, patiently waiting to see the flows cross the street, Puna resident Ruth Crawford, doesn't sound like a native, whatever.
I don't know. Ruth Crawford, yeah.
Yeah. She drove to a lobe of the flow. That's what they call those lobes, like a big fat piece of it.
Uh-huh.
To see it firsthand.
No lobes.
She and friends trespassed on county property and dunked a bunch of household objects like golf clubs, forks, coins, and an egg beater into the lava just for fun. Turns out that is very illegal.
So it was a danger issue kind of thing, probably, right?
That, like, and it's protected stuff like land, and you're not supposed to mess with the flow or anything with the, what do you call it, the volcano. right?
That's like the, she's like the Willet blend of lava.
Yeah, right? Look at her.
What happens when we put an egg beater into lava?
Yeah, she looks like the kind of woman that I wouldn't want to date. I'm looking at her right here.
Yeah.
Let's see. She says to tell the meteor
that left arm, that right arm.
I think that's a trick of the camera, finger but it, or something.
She's big guns on her, yeah. Big muscular guns on her, and her egg beater.
That's really weird. See, I think that's somebody's finger in front of the lens or something, but it's blending into her arm. Yeah. You're right.
Maybe that's it.
And she's also one of those people that tans too much and forgets that her armpits are white. Look at that. Gross. She's 59 years old. She's embarrassed now and says we shouldn't have done it. And we feel awkward because we got arrested. It's really rich to be my age and have my mugshot on the internet, though, she says.
What, that's, really?
Yeah, that's really rich, she says. That's really rich. Let's see. Lava might be slow moving, but officials warn if it's or that it's still plenty dangerous. Unpredictable methane gas explosions can shake the ground and throw debris into the air. If an onlooker lost his or her balance, officials warn, he or she could fall into a 2,000-degree lava. So that's mainly why. Also, like, you're just not supposed to do it.
Yeah. It's like littering, right? I mean, yeah. It's trash. You're putting your trash in your in the lava.
You're melting your household appliance into the lava flow. Right. That sounds like a bad idea. All right. Well, there's that.
Oh, wow. There are videos of people like putting, ironic name is put them in the chat room, that somebody like cooking a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli in lava. That's really cool.
Wow. Like cooking it and then eating it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. This thing just shoots. I don't know if they're eating it, but it's cooking it in the can and the can is just exploding. Crazy video.
That probably makes, I don't know. I can't eat that stuff. Those are bad. When's the last time you had a can of Chef Boyardee branded anything? It's been a while for you. It's been a while for me.
It's been a long time for me, yeah.
that nondescript orange sauce from space or whatever they use, that stuff's disgusting.
Oh, and there goes a Coke can. It burned its way through the side of the can. Wow, this is crazy.
Where is this in the chat room?
All these are in the chat room. The last three of ironic names posts. Oh,
gifts. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Wow.
The Coke can one is great. Jeez.
Oh, that's so weird. The way it creeps around the can. There's another one, a monster can.
I'd like to actually see what lava does to some of the politicians who have been running attack ads lately on TV.
Oh, yeah. I hear they're bad in Colorado.
God, horrendous.
Yeah, I've heard bad things. Wow. Corey Gardner
hates babies.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. What is the deal with that kind of talk? It's so annoying to me.
It's always that same low voice. He's not looking out for you, Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado.
He's bad for the economy.
Yeah, I think they think we're dumb. And sadly, a bunch of people are dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
That Coke can is really holding up.
It is. It's amazing how long it seems to stick around, right?
Oh, that is so scary. That stuff is scary to me.
it's you can't not look at it, though. I mean, it's so cool looking.
It's like liquid Diablo, sort of reminds me of. Amazing. Today's show brought to you by Era, the Consortium, a sci-fi tabletop role-playing game. This is really cool. They have a Kickstarter. It's in its final week. I want you guys to go check this out. It offers 500 years of history with different situations, wars, corporate raiding, political intrigue, and organized resistance against the government. They're just a few examples. And it's something for everybody, really. Offers the chance to travel through time and change history. The artwork is amazing. I love the artwork. You need to go to the link and check it out, which is tinyurl.com/sovkick, S-O-V-K-I-C-K. Really neat art. Yeah, isn't that nice?
Gorgeous.
I know, really pretty. It's already funded, but they want to get to some of these stretch goals, like expansion booklets, provide new weapons, that sort of thing. Even if you don't like role-playing games, but you like sci-fi comics, that kind of thing, you can get 2 for $5 by backing the project now. Thanks to some of the stretch goals already being reached. Anyway, it is Era, the Consortium, brand new tabletop RPG game. Really, really super cool. I supported it. I think you should too. It's at this shortened link, tinyurl.com/sovlink or kick. I keep saying link, sovkick. Or if you just search for Era the Consortium over there on Kickstarter, you'll find it. Best of luck to those guys. I hope they keep knocking out those goals because it's awesome. Celebrity poop is now in the house, in the hizzy. Is it? There it is.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
The Mendoza Wanted poster, available now at frogpants.com/store.
Yeah, if you want to immortalize that damn freaking goose.
Yes, sure.
Put it on your wall, yeah.
Ah!
Drawn by me, a signed version available, all that kind of stuff if you want to get it. Mama June will not be paid for her unaired episodes of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. So I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah.
She's been dating
the bad feller.
Sure. It's a convicted child molester, Mark McDaniel. This will affect her financially, it turns out. TLC reportedly will not pay her for the 6 months worth of unaired episodes. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. According to sources, everyone in the cast will receive a full salary for the unaired episodes, except for the family matriarch. The network allegedly believes that June breached a morality clause in her contract by dating McDaniel, which puts her kids at risk and led to the show's cancellation. So this is, we never talked about it before. The show got canceled. Like, the whole thing's a huge mess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Simply because she, and this, I guess, isn't her first time. She has a history of dating admitted
bad
and
boys.
Convicted bad people.
She likes the bad boys, huh?
Yeah. But, I mean, these are real bad boys. Like,
yeah.
It would be one thing if she was dating some biker dude or, you know, traditional bad boy. But a child molester? Dude, what are you doing? What are you thinking?
Wow.
I never saw an episode of that show, so I don't know.
Me neither. I saw lots of clips on The Soup, and that was enough for me.
The Soup is good for you because you get all that stuff without having to go watch any of it.
Exactly. It's like it's like getting to taste thickened liquid without having to drink an entire can of it.
Yeah, you should have had Joel, what's his name, do that for you.
Joel McHale.
Joel McHale could have drank a whole thing for us.
Yeah.
Idris Elba, he's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
He was, He's known for The Wire.
Heimdall,
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Heimdall.
He was in,
the owner and proprietor of the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes. Still have not seen any of that, but I'm aware of it.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, you mean the Thor thing? Never mind. No. I was thinking you were referring to this. I was still thinking you were on The Wire. I'm going to watch The Wire's next on my thing.
Oh.
I forgot he was. Yeah, you're right. He's in Thor.
Yeah.
Totally forgot about that. He was on The Office for a couple seasons. Played
was he really?
Michael Scott's temporary boss or something. And was before James Spader come on there.
Okay.
And then what else has he done? Oh, he's the kind of the Obi-Wan Kenobi leader dude on the that giant dinosaur robot movie. Pacific Rim. He was in that.
Oh, okay. Well,
anyway,
either. Wow.
Well, here's what he'll be doing. He'll be appearing in the next Avengers installment, Avengers Age of Ultron, which is set to hit theaters on May 1st of 2015. The actor who played Heimdall in Thor, told The Telegraph, quote, "I'm in Avengers, and I'm doing a scene with Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston." Oh, okay, well, because he's going to play that again.
Yep.
Well, duh. Now I'm less impressed.
You didn't know how far the extended Marvel Cinematic family would be in Age of Ultron, so this is kind of good news.
I would have taken him as Black Panther. I like the other guy, too, but
sure,
he would have been good. Sure. Anyway, Marvel Studios presents Age of Ultron, the epic follow-up to the biggest superhero movie of all time. Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program. Things go awry, and Earth's mightiest heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and the Incredible Hulk, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, are put to the ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance and Spider-Man and freaking Wolverine are nowhere to be seen. anyway.
Somewhere in an alternate universe.
I'm very excited, period, about this.
Oh, me too.
Every time I watch that trailer, I'm like,
It keeps getting closer and closer. It's like, before we know it, it's going to be 2015, and we're going to be seeing this. And
doesn't May seem like a long time, though?
It really does.
Like a long time from now. Tweaked Audio is here to tide you over. Put these in your ears and listen to some sweet, sweet music. I've been listening to 311 for some reason. Nostalgic for it. So I listen to their greatest hits on my RDO account with my Tweaked Audio earbuds in tow.
Would you say that amber is the color of their melody?
I would say it is the color of their melody. I would also say that you gotta come original.
Come original. You gotta come original.
I love those guys.
I do too.
There's something about them. I don't know what it is. There's something I don't like, but something I really like. And the thing I really like beats the thing I don't like. And I don't even know what the thing I don't like is. So I like it, is what I'm saying. Anyway, they sound great on these things. So go get yourself a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds and do it on the cheap, 33% off. If you go and use the code STREAM as many times as you want, by the way, not a one-timer. 33% off with the code STREAM. We're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers with Steven Schleicher, your emails, and more. Brian, we got music before then?
We do. And this is cool. So this is actually going to satisfy a couple of requests. We had two people who requested Tom Waits cover. Specifically, one of them requested this song. So I'll read paraphrase their emails. Sure. Hey, SOB. Hope that's not too rude. On November 2nd, I turn 31 and will promptly go to Baskin-Robbins. Not really. In fact, I'm celebrating by running a half marathon. Therefore, I'd like to request a cover of Tom Waits' I Hope That I Don't Fall in Love with You from Monday, November 3rd. The song has no particular meaning for me, except that I find it incredibly relaxing and will be suffering from immense muscle pain while I listen to TMS. Also, my birthdays tend to suck a bit, and I live alone on the other side of the world from my home country. So help me, Ibit-1 Kenobi. You're my only hope. No guilt trip here. Hobos are bros, though. Yeah. Pete from Fukushima, Japan.
Great.
Also, we get an email from David that said, hello, Bron and Sylvanus. Today, the birthday of my amazing and wonderful fiance, Glynis. She's turning the marvelous age of Number Redacted to save my life and is the best thing that ever happened to me. I would like to request a Russian language version of Brown Eyed Girl, or any of the other suggestions are perfectly fine. Ride the Kodo, David. So,
Ride the Kodo. Nice.
Ride the Kodo. So both of them had Tom Waits as a request. And so this is a great cover. This, you know, I'm going to break the rules here. Well, not really. There's not really rules, but I'm going to, I'm just going to come right out and play a song by an artist that we played last week. Playing her again. I don't care. We heard her cover of Sound of Silence last week, and a lot of people really enjoyed it, really liked it. She's Icelandic, like Björk.
Oh, I loved that cover. Yeah.
Well, you're going to like this one, too. From her album, Merman, this is Emiliana Torini and her brilliant cover of Tom Waits' I Hope That I Don't Fall in Love with You. This is so sweet.
That's great. Here it is. Next time I go to Olive Garden, I'm getting a Torini. Here it is. Should. We'll be right back.
Well, I hope that I don't fall in love with you. 'Cause falling in love just makes me blue. When the music plays and you display your heart for me to see, I had a beer and now I hear you calling out for me. And I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Well, the room was crowded, people everywhere. And I wonder, should I offer you a chair? Well, if you sit down with this old clown, take that frown and break it. Before the evening's gone away, I think that we can make it. And I hope that I don't fall in love. Well, the night does funny things inside of me. These old tomcat feelings you don't understand. Well, I turn around to look at you. You light a cigarette. I wish I had the guts to bum one, but we never met. And I hope that I don't fall in love. I can see that you are lonesome just like me. And it being late, you'd like some company. Well, I turn around to look at you, and you look back at me. The guy you're with is up and split, the chair next to you is free. And I hope that you don't fall in love. It's closing time, the music's fading out. Let's call for drinks, I'll have another stout. Well, I turn around to look at you, you know where to be found. I search the place for your lost face, guess I'll have another round. And I think that I just fell in love.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee. I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
The Weird Circle.
You are listening to Adele Dazeem.
Well, all right then. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that,
and
that
I took an arrow to the knee.
That girl could sing me a love song anytime. Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
I could listen to her sing the Yellow Pages.
Uh-huh. Right? Am I right?
That's right. That's all right.
All
right.
Steven time. Take it down. We're going to get him all up in here and see what's what in his world. Whoa, my mouse just went crazy. All right. Nope, it's good. We're back. And here's this. All the way from the big sweeping wheat fields of Kansas, we have with us one Steven Schlacker.
Yee-haw! Hello.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, Steven. How you doing,
I'm
man?
I'm sorry, Brian, that your Denver Broncos lost yesterday.
Oh, I'm not. I bet on the Patriots.
Well, that was probably a good bet. Man, that was a boring game.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going to – I mean, this isn't Super Bowl year for them again, I don't think. Let's see.
Probably not.
My computer made a fart noise. Sorry.
I mean, I think they've only lost like – two or three so far. So I mean,
three. Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of games to lose, though, in a 12 or 15 game season or whatever it is.
17. They can still do it. They can still pull this out.
All right, they're still your team, even though you bet on the other team.
That's right. And I know where to bet, but I know where my loyalties lie.
Mm, that's true. So Steven,
yes, sir.
How are you in the aftermath of your not exactly your neighbor, but your kind of neighbor baseball team lost? Sort of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, they're right up the road from us.
Yeah. Are you feeling a little sad, a little melancholy about it?
Not a big baseball fan.
Oh, all right. Well, then let's get off that topic right
yeah,
now.
There you go.
Steven, let's get right into what we would like to refer to as the major spoiler segment, where you come on here and talk about cool stuff that's going on in comics, pop culture, movies, and more. There is a breaking news that Gambit, the playing card chucking Frenchman, Cajun man, is getting a writer for his movie. And yes. What do we know about it? What's going on there?
So apparently Josh Zetemer, Zetumer, has been hired to write the script. He previously was the writer of the RoboCop reboot, but he's been hired to come in and do the Gambit spinoff that we know is going to star Channing Tatum. And we'll see how that goes.
So Channing Tatum confirmed.
Yes.
Is he going to be introduced in something else first? Like, I don't know, the Fantastic Four movie or something? Are we going to get
probably
any bridging?
Not.
Probably not. Okay.
Probably not.
Because I feel like that's a little dangerous. People may remember the first Gambit with Taylor Kitsch or whatever is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. From
X-Men Origins.
Yeah, yeah. So he was in your Wolverine, that terrible Wolverine movie. But at least you got some kind of connection there, right? This feels like it's been a little while, and people who aren't necessarily all up in this don't maybe know who Gambit is as much?
I'm not so sure that it's so much knowing who Gambit is as knowing who Channing Tatum is.
Oh, good point. Because he's a sexy man.
Yeah, he is.
He gyrates and shows
me his
pecs.
Have you seen that Magic Mike movie?
I have not seen Magic Mike.
You should watch that movie.
Yeah. So he's very,
the first man who's told me I should watch that movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I heard it was really good. Like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Something different about it. Like, it's not just your average... It's not just a lady movie. Like, it's got like a real story.
No, it's certainly geared towards the ladies, but it's got some good story in there.
So what's the male equivalent? Like that Coyote Ugly movie that we got some years
probably
ago?
Probably would be the closest.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever happened to that? You know it had talent. that's good. I'm actually kind of excited about a Gambit movie, not because so much that it's Gambit as the focus, but because there should be some interesting side characters in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they go. Like, is this going to be an origin story? Here we are in New Orleans, and here's a mutant who... And this is Fox, is it not?
Yeah, this would be Fox.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I should be excited. Maybe I'm not. What am I about this? Where's your head at with Gambit? How do you feel about it?
You know, I think he got a lot of bad flack in the 90s for being just exploited everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that seeing him on the screen might bring some of back those feelings. But I don't know. If they can make Deadpool work, then I'm sure that they can make Gambit work as well.
Yeah. Well, let's see if they can make Deadpool work.
Yeah, that's true.
There's some unknown about that still. Another Action Comics up on the auction block. These are coming out like flies suddenly. Everybody's finding their own copies.
It's crazy. It seems like just yesterday there were only 20 copies known in existence, and now more and more keep falling out of the woodwork. This one is a 3.0 graded comic, so it's not in the best condition, but it is a slab that goes up on the auction block this month. And even for a 3.0 comic, I think it was 2 months ago, 3 months ago, there was a 9.0 Action Comics that went for over $1 million. This one is expected to hit $350,000 for that one comic book.
So
well, I think that's probably it. Once you see another one go up on the block and make that much money, you think, well, I've got one of those. I probably might as well, you know, let's go ahead and sell it now.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But, look, if I had one of 3.0 or higher, it goes to 5, right? Isn't that the scale?
Oh, no. It goes up to 10.
Oh, is it 10?
It's perfect, but you rarely see
anything that high. Wow, 300K.
It's got to be right off the presses into into the plastic case, the CGC plastic case.
And even
case.
Then, it's probably going to hit a 9.9.
Right, that's true. Right. No one ever hits a 10. Has anyone ever hit a 10, I guess?
No.
Probably not.
I think the highest is a 9.9.
They probably have that score just so they can never reach it. But anyway, my point is, if I had a comic that was, say, worth 500 grand or something, I think I would sell it. Why would I hold on to that? I guess it would appreciate more if you held on to it.
That would be the guess, is that it would appreciate more. And certainly over the last couple of years, we've seen comic book prices skyrocket at auction to just really obscene amounts, to where, you know, a few years ago, even getting a 5 or 6 Action Comics would go for $1 million. Now you're getting, you know, a 3.0 is going to hit $500,000, or they hope that it gets close to that.
Yeah.
At auction at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Cool thing about Heritage Auctions, anybody can bid on this. So you don't have to be some hoity-toity person with a big bank account. You can go sign up for a Heritage Auctions account. Now, granted, you need to have deep pockets if you're going for Action Comics. But, you know, they have a lot of other stuff that's going up. And some of it can be fairly inexpensive at times. Mm. Some of it can be very expensive. But they run a good auction.
Because Christie's is a little more like... Those kinds of things are it's not the same. I mean, they don't let just anybody in there, right?
Right, right, right. That Heritage in the last, I want to say 3 or 4 years, has really become the seller, the auction company that deals with comic books and pop culture paraphernalia. They also do a movie prop. I think they do that quarterly. They do a movie prop auction where you can find, I mean, and Daryl should be paying attention to this, because they will sell real props from Star Trek. You know, even a pair of Spock's ears you can get for less than $1,000 if that's what you were going for. You can get a phaser for, I think the phaser that I saw, they were expecting that one to go for like $5,000. So it's relatively inexpensive for people who are going after movie paraphernalia too.
Yeah, that didn't sound too bad. I mean, $5,000, that's not
no bad. And some of the costumes, I mean, you'd be surprised at some of the costumes that go up for auction, that they're like, well, we think this one will get $3,000 for this costume.
Do we know, this is a side note, but also comic related, but do we know if the ball that Todd McFarlane bought went down in value? Because he paid, what, $2.4 million for that thing? And it was, then the scandal broke about all the steroids after that. I'm curious if that ball he bought went up or down. I mean, none of us are fans of any of that, so how would we know?
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I'm very curious, though, because it seems like a lot of money for a comic book man there to spend, and then...
He made a lot of money. There's a documentary where it kind of followed him after his rise of 1990. Mm-hmm. And he just went on this crazy buying spree. He owns like the original sword from the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan movie.
Oh, wow.
And just a bunch of other stuff that he's just like, hey, I had the money. I just went ahead and went crazy.
Why not? Wow. Spend it if you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did real well.
Yeah, he did.
All those images.
And the cool thing, and this kind of leads into our last story, the cool thing is, now with the Deadpool movie in the works, he gets residuals off that. He gets residuals off toys. He gets residuals off everything that he worked on, either through Image or Marvel or whoever that he worked with.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So if he did...
He was the creator of Deadpool?
No. Yep. I thought that was...
No, not McFarlane. I mean, talking about... what's his face? Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
Bad
proportions Liefeld.
Chester McChesterson.
Yeah, yes. Chesty McChesterson. Pointy feet McPointy Feederson. all right, well, let's talk about this Jack Kirby deal. And he's been given credit for his Marvel creations, finally, official credit. And I don't know why did that take so long?
Well, so there was a big lawsuit going on over who owned the rights to the Marvel characters that Jack Kirby helped create back in the 1960s. It's been an ongoing lawsuit. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court was about to weigh in on it when Marvel and the Kirby estate, the Jack Kirby's children, came to an undisclosed settlement. Now, I've heard, you know, between $30 and $50 million as part of the settlement. But also, Jack Kirby was going to get credit back into the comics. And this last week, we see Jack Kirby's name appearing in the credit section of many of the books, including All New X-Men, Fantastic Four number 12, Inhumans number 7, and Wolverine and the X-Men number 11.
Oh, wow.
Now have Fantastic Four created by either Stan Lee or whoever else that was working on those titles, and Jack Kirby.
Seems odd that he wasn't there already. I don't know why. Yeah, I know there are all kinds of issues about who's getting paid.
It had to do with work for hire. It had to do with, you know, what he signed away and whether they needed to give him credit on those kinds of things or not. It's real fascinating. I did an interview, that was a couple of months, on the Major Spoilers podcast where I talked with a lawyer who really understands copyright.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really fascinating to listen to. But, you know, there are some people like Bob Finger or Bill Finger who made it part of his contract that he had to be given credit for the creation of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of those things keep going on. Maybe I got the names messed up. That's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's written into a contract. Sometimes it's not. And in this case with Jack Kirby, it's great to finally see him getting the recognition that he deserves.
I agree. Yeah. Seems like this should have been happening before. But to me, the work for hire thing is it's immaterial. If a nice, you know, okay, let's say you're having your yard fenced and a dude who's doing the fence realizes, oh, mister, you got a problem here where this tree intersects with where the fence should be. Oh, no, what do I do? And that guy goes, I have a really creative idea how to fix this. I'm literally going to invent a way to make this tree and this fence work together. And then he's done. You're like, wow, that is amazing. But sorry, Guadalupe, I'm never giving you damn credit for it. I'm going to pretend I did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why is it so hard to get credit for things that you've worked for hire or not?
But what about this, Scott? What if I hired you to paint my fence with your Scott Johnson art?
Okay.
And then I turned around.
Hit your face with my fence with my blood.
And then I turned around and, without giving you credit, sold that for millions upon millions of dollars and said, Scott, I'm sorry. You were work for hire. You worked for your rate. But because you signed this contract as a work for hire, you don't get a portion of these millions and millions of dollars that I just sold this fence
for. That part should have been in my contract, and that part I totally could understand.
But you taking it
and saying, all right, I'm going to sell this and make millions on it is one thing, but you taking that, making millions on it, and pretending I didn't have anything to do with its creation, that's where I'd have trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's
the whole basis of the suit, because in the 1970s and the 60s, some of these companies were doing some pretty sketchy things. In today's light would be really, really anti-competitive, anti-work. For example, just endorsing your check, and this was happened to Jack Kirby, endorsing your check to get paid, basically there was a clause on there that says that you relinquish all rights to the work that you did.
Yeah. I mean, comics were such a...
It was trash. I mean, literally, they were cereal box. You know, the cereal box printers needed something to print so that their printer could stay running, and they started printing comic books.
Yeah, I mean, it started in such the basement, and then so none of these things should surprise us, I think, because a lot of things end up being like that until they get big, and then you're like, oh, all right, well, this has to change. And now they're having to change. But yeah, the bottom line, good job, because Kirby needs credit.
Yep.
Or should get credit. Yeah. All the issues with the financial stuff, that's all stuff for lawyers I don't understand. But
well, that's all taken care of, too, apparently, in this settlement, which is undisclosed, and we probably will never find out what it was unless you get one of the Kirby children drunk and get them to spill their guts on it.
Which probably isn't hard, because I doubt they've ever worked a day in their life, those Kirby children. That's my guess.
You know, but see, that's the thing. And
we don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm passing judgment because of tacos. But anyway, what?
Jack was not Stan Lee. Stan Lee, when he left Marvel, he was basically given a $1 million a year stipend to be Stan Lee for Marvel.
Yeah.
Jack Kirby was not given that.
No.
So Jack Kirby was not.
He just wasn't talking enough.
Wealthy.
He wasn't charismatic enough. Like if he would have just been a guy that could get on a camera and go, "I really enjoyed making the thing," right, or whatever, yeah, yeah. he might have gotten a lot more play. Yeah, but because Stan Lee was right. just constantly yelling "Excelsior" at everybody he passed, $1 million stipend. Good Lord, that guy. All right. Congratulations to Jack Kirby's estate and to all who enjoy his work, because I think that's good credit where it's due. Stephen, anything else in your world people should watch for? The costume contest over, done. Who won? Just so people
yes.
can hear.
So the AT-AT won this year.
Good. Nice.
One person well inside deserved. The AT-AT. Yeah, boy, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Well,
sorry.
Oh, you're getting over a thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the flu or what, but yeah, it's been pretty rough the last couple of days.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, so the costume contest is done. I've got an interview going up with the person inside the costume later this afternoon. People could go check that out. Mm-hmm. And just a point of clarification, Bob Kane is the one that got it written into his contract that he would be credited as the creator of Batman. Bill Finger is the uncredited creator of Batman.
Oh, okay.
Just
oh, right,
wanted
right,
to clarify
right.
that because I know that there's people screaming at their iPods and mobile devices.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Finger. he's the man who doesn't get credited with creating Batman.
Meryl Finger.
So lots of good things over at MajorSpoilers.com. Go check it out.
I just want to keep singing that. all right, it's Major Spoilers on Twitter. And dude, feel better. I hope it isn't the flu. And
yeah, we'll see.
It is.
It's about a week long. So maybe a few more days and it should be over.
Get a little rest and I'll try to avoid whatever that thing is while we're on at BlizzCon surrounded by 30,000 sick people. It'll be great.
Bathe in the anti what is it is the oh man, I'm so sick.
Go get
the
some
antiseptic
rest.
Gel or whatever it is.
I'm taking it all. Have a good week and get some rest. All right.
Aww.
Poor Steven. A little cough switch going there. All right. Hey, let's get to some emails, Brian.
All right.
They're brought to you by...
By us. We're going to be at BlizzCon this week in Anaheim at the convention center Clip Clop. come say it. Come see us. Come say hi. Come give us hugs. Shake hands. Take pictures.
Yeah. Unless you're sick. Don't shake my hand if you're sick.
Well, yeah. We got Purell.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that stuff work? I always think it's just a big ruse. It doesn't actually work. Do you think it works?
No. Sure, of course it works.
Does it? All right. Keep telling ourselves that.
Scientifically proven. Just don't touch your eyes.
All right. Don't touch your face, everybody. That's your trick at a con. Yeah. Just don't touch your face. Scott, just got a call from 801 in the Utah. And since I don't know anyone in Utah, I'm assuming it's you, says Brian. This is a different Brian. Even though I've never had contact with you in any way, save my listening to your voice through podcast magic. Do you live in the 801? Oh, that covers Provo. So maybe Brandon Sanderson called. That seems equally unlikely, Brian. No, you're correct, though. 801 is in Utah. We have two. We have that, and we have 435, I think, is the other one. I don't know where that even is, somewhere in the state. But, 801 has been my area code my entire life. And
well, Brian, they also have bill collectors in Utah, so could be that, too.
We got a lot of big data centers where people do collections for people. So
that's right.
Probably that's what happened. Got an email from a name I didn't write down. Great.
Oops.
Says, loving your show with Wendy this week. Briefly wanted to share a story with you. When my son was born, I was heavily pressured to skip the vaccinations by a particular couple. She was convinced that my son would have autism if I got this done. I will admit that she shook my confidence a bit, but some quick research reassured me. And we talked about this on Thursday, so that's why I'm just bringing it up again. Tragically, when she had her own son, he was diagnosed with autism. Mm-hmm. I in no means want to be flippant about how terrible that is. However, what's shocking to me is how she doubled down on her belief the vaccines cause autism. I mean, here it is, a small pocket of verification right in front of her. I believe your sister's right. There is no arguing with beliefs like this.
Wow.
Here, I mean, that's what's weird about that case is that she didn't immunize her son, yet he still has autism. But that she just doubled down. That's a weird thing to do. You know, I guess if you're...
Yeah, totally.
If you just want to stop all potential chances of autism ever, I don't know. Yeah, that's a complicated thing. The problem is once you've made your decision as a parent that you are sure and you get, you know, you do a lot of things out of fear for your kids. I do, you know, sometimes irrational things. And it's hard to, you know, in a weird way, I feel for them because I think they're making a terrible mistake, but I understand where it comes from. I get the place they're at. So I don't know. It's a very hard thing to fix. I don't know how you fix it. If you don't know what we're talking about, last week's Therapy Thursday, we'll shed some light on that.
So it shouldn't be as controversial a topic as it is, because there's so much science to back it up. But there are a lot of people who believe a certain thing. Yeah.
Anything that deals with kids, you just feel like, oh, geez. Mm-hmm. Hello, Scott and Brian says Vinny Stefano. He was on our
Vinny.
Vinny was great.
It was great.
Hey, Scott and Brian, just wanted to thank you so much for including me on your beta of the Frog Pants Trivia Show. Had a ton of fun, despite having, in my opinion, the hardest category of the night.
Oh, yeah. Which one was he? He was the smash-up one, right?
Was it? Oh, that was. Yeah, that was him.
That was a tough one, yeah.
I couldn't have done it. I was out of it. When I got my category, I couldn't have been happier, because freaking TV.
Well, and you got freaking West Wing and Sopranos as two of your questions.
That was awesome.
Completely unplanned. It really was.
By the way, did you think that the first time you heard yourself talk that you didn't like your voice? I hated hearing myself talk. LOL. I sounded like a huge nerd. Professor Frank level. Just a random thought. You guys did such a great job. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate everything you do. Hopefully we'll be able to get more people to contribute. Thank you, Vinny. It's very nice of you to say.
Thanks, Vinny. Yeah, it was such a blast. It really went well. There are a couple things we're going to tweak for if this thing becomes a real just regular gig.
Just tighten it up, you know.
Really just a speed thing. I think the questions were good. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little easier on the smash-ups, but I don't know. I mean, the other categories I think were spot on as far as the level of difficulty and the level of fun.
I agree.
That Twitter thing with Will Wheaton and Kim Kardashian, I didn't think that was going to be as funny as it was.
That was great. Yeah, no, I like you have said, and I'll reiterate, there's not much to change, just to tweak. It was like truly a public beta in like a video game. There's just not much else to do but polish it a little bit, and we're good.
Yeah, yeah. So please, people, we really want to do more of these, please.
Patreon.com/TMS. All right, Stefan from Sweden wrote in, and he says, being a longtime listener, I would like to thank you for everything you do, especially TMS. You provide a sea of tranquility in my otherwise chaotic world. I've heard many stories about how you, with your honesty and level-headedness, affect people in positive ways. I'd like to share a story of my own. Today, I had a wisdom tooth removed. The only thing keeping me from fleeing the scene, screaming with flailing arms as the surgeon drilled and ground into my jawbone, were your soothing voices. Good thing Wendy didn't talk about odontophobia. I guess it's a thing, and I probably have it.
Wow.
You got me through it, bros. Unabashedly yours, Stefan. Thanks for the bros use.
I'm thinking that Love the Show Bros is going to be a new regular thing we're going to start seeing.
Yep. And they'll all think they were the first one.
Right.
That'll be good. if we helped you through your terrible dental visits, then there's worse things in this world for us to do. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Who is my voice when I have to go to the dentist? Who can I listen to?
Should be me, right? I'll soothe you.
I'll listen to Coverville.
Scott, let's listen to some covers of Milli Vanilli.
Here's right one now, of Elvis on Costello. Right, at the end of a song. It'll be great. All right. What are we doing now? We're done. That's it. That's all the emails we have. themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS on Twitter, @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. We'll be back tomorrow with Fitness Geek, the newly betrothed Justin R. Young, and the usual Tuesday Miss Smash, and then and then Wednesday, and then no Thursday. All right. Brian, you got a little song Miss for Smash. The end
was
here?
Loretta Swit Miss Smash.
Oh yeah, ooh, Loretta Swit. Mm.
Jennifer wrote in, said, "Hello, shiny buttons. Whoa. November 3rd, 2014 will mark 13 years of matrimony with my amazing husband. Who knew that on that beautiful fall day that 13 years later, we'd be sitting in the neighborhood we dreamed of living in with our two less than perfect children running about in the yard, and we'd still be playing board games on Saturday nights. Even though our journey together seems to be full of the poor and sickness, I think we're just getting all the bad stuff out of the way. Richer and health, here we come." Here. "I love you, David, /sketchy, and I hope this year I beat you to getting our anniversary request into TMS, though I have a feeling I didn't. I just hope we didn't request the same song. So any cover of Mazzy Star's Fade Into You would rock. It's one of the first songs we listened to on that long drive to Roanoke to meet your parents. I'm still the luckiest girl at the goth club. Signed, Jennifer Brown, Oddly Strange."
They had goth clubs back in the day?
Apparently so. Apparently in Roanoke. In Roanoke, though. So it's funny because we've also got another request that I didn't play from David, who is her other half, who is Sketchy, and I did not play his request, but no, Jennifer, that he also did put in a request, but I'm playing yours, so haha, you win. Mm. Her request is a cover of Mazzy Star's Fade Into You. This is one of those great songs from the 90s that goes overlooked, you know, when you look back at the music that came out then. The version I'm going to play is covered by someone who we really knew well in the 80s for one particular song, 99 Red Balloons, or Luftballons, if you prefer the German version. This is Nina. In 2007, she recorded an album called Cover Me, where she covered a bunch of great stuff. A lot of stuff that wasn't your typical, hey, I'm going to cover all these hits. I mean, these were some overlooked songs that really got some good do by her covers. Here's her cover of Mazzy Star's Fade Into You.
All right, we'll play it, and we'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a nice day. Stay out of the cold. Sorry, freaking freezing today. I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah, we got your rain. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, lots of clouds and crap. Mountains are getting a little white-capped. It's time. The shift is happening.
Yeah.
Tuck in, everybody. All right. It's Fade Into You. We're going to fade out now. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Frogpants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. So
such a potty mouth.
God, and just so apathetic.
Didn't he run for president? I can't remember. He was one of the early somethings.
I don't think he did.
I thought he did.
Yeah, he did. He went like did the debates and stuff. Like didn't make it.
That's right. And I remember at the time thinking, well, that's a Republican I could vote for.
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah, I'd have no problem voting for him
because Fred freaking Thompson, dude.
Because he doesn't give a shit.
No, he didn't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
See?
Yeah.
Hey Fred, your dog got out.
I don't give a shit.
Hey Fred, the dishes are running over.
I don't give a shit.
I need one shit.
I don't give a shit.
All right.